It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in on the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy the Kid.
Yeah, you guys are Joe Dirt, man.
Welcome. Hey,
you're Joe Mud.
Joe, yeah, it's about to be. Joe Dirt's a good deal. It's actually, that name is sticking for our Wednesday night program, Dirt World, and that's on at 7:30 Eastern on RealRacingUSA.com, where you can also hear this show. And Randy, before we get going tonight, I talked to Jack Smith at the RealRacingUSA.com headquarters down in Bradenton, and he plans on continuing to broadcast all of the programs that are scheduled on RealRacingUSA.com throughout the week. So stay tuned, regardless of Tropical Storm Fay, perhaps moving onshore right near where, of course, RealRacingUSA.com headquarters are. Jack Smith is ready to weather the storm.
Oh, no.
He is.
You didn't say that.
Yes, he is.
You did, Joe.
Hey, there's a lot more where that came from.
Oh, man.
The rain this afternoon, and, of course, these are the bands, so to speak. Everybody's excited. Our first big tropical development.
I'm not excited a bit.
Well, I'm not excited, but it does kind of get your blood going a little bit and ratchets things up a little bit and makes you spend more money, that's for sure, and engaging in all this media hype and, you know, going and looking at the empty gas pumps and empty shelves. I mean, that's the worst part about it.
Are you okay? Are you, Joe?
I have had two Krispy Kreme hot donuts.
Take the Prozac, Joe. Take your Prozac. What's that? At 8:20, right. we have a weather break.
We do.
At 8:10, you've got a medication break.
I can do the other way. From the Tropical Storm Fay weather update. Here we are on Racing 1150 WNDB.
Let's not do that. Well, this is going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
It is. When Billy came over tonight to my house, it was like that. He knew it.
You know, you talk about ratcheting up and blood pressure and all that kind of stuff. How would you like to be Joe Gibbs today?
Yeah, what's with that? Because it is indeed blatant what they found. This is a pretty incredible device. Talk about this magnet thing, Randy.
Well, I can't tell you, honestly, I don't have any experience with this particular device.
What do you mean?
Nobody, I don't.
Mercury in the chassis?
I don't have speed rope. Yeah, I have an understanding of what they're trying to accomplish. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to probably have a different position on this than some other people. I've heard, you know, there's no question they're guilty. Joe Gibbs and J.D. Gibbs both have acknowledged they're guilty. Okay, they both, however, decline the knowledge that they were involved. I will say this to this extent. I would completely and 100% believe that of Joe Gibbs. I would most likely believe that of J.D. Gibbs. I also believe that Joe Gibbs will deal with this thing internally for sure, significantly and severely. But I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that the NASCAR fines are going to be, the penalties are going to be as substantial as some people think. And here's why.
This wasn't an attempt to shave horsepower after NASCAR had looked at these race cars, and it did, in fact, limit them to about 15%. It did not allow the accelerator to go all the way to the floor.
Well, let me put it in perspective. Okay, first off, the reason why I don't believe the penalties are going to be as severe as some people think is because the parts, the engine parts, you know, the cars were legal as presented for inspection. They were legal as presented for post-race inspection. They were legal. Okay, so there were no illegal parts during competition. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right.
The parts that were there were a result in an attempt to mislead findings. This horsepower issue. NASCAR is going, okay, yeah, we got a legal engine. The engine's legal for Toyota. It's okay. It's within specs. We recognize that. Maybe we've made a mistake in allowing Toyota too much latitude because this engine's producing too much horsepower. So we need to find out what the real horsepower ratio is for the Gibbs Racing or Joe Gibbs Racing. Well, Joe Gibbs Racing's going, okay, we don't like this. We understand they're doing it. We're going to go ahead and try to manipulate the results of the dyno in our
favor.
Therefore
limiting the horsepower, showing that we're not as strong as they said.
Right. Well, anybody on the racetrack could see it.
All right.
It's pretty clear.
How can you have to seen it all year.
Yeah, absolutely. You're no question. You have to have seen it all year. You're right. Now, here's why I don't think the penalty is going to be as severe, because they're manipulating the results of a test. They're not manipulating the results of competition. They're not doing anything while competing that is illegal. They're using legal parts and killing everybody with them because of probably was an error in allowing Toyota to have the kind of stuff that they have. That's what I think. So I don't believe the penalty is going to be as severe from NASCAR. I think the penalty from Joe Gibbs Racing is very likely to be more severe to the people involved than what NASCAR is going to give to the team.
Also,
I don't know about that.
You talk about the severity of the penalty. These are, of course, the nationwide cars that are in question. They're not the all-new car of today. And those cars, it's certainly clear that they are
hands
not
off.
Going to tamp. That's right.
Right.
Hands off. So I could agree with you in that aspect. Nonetheless, pretty incredible little device there. It must have been opposing fields of this magnet, you know, to prevent the accelerator from going all the way down.
Let me make another point. You know, the other thing that confuses me about that is, okay, we're going to test it on the dyno, and what we're doing is we're using somebody's foot on the throttle.
No,
what do they do?
No. They're not using the foot.
They probably don't even use an accelerator.
They're doing underneath the hood, pulling the throttle. They don't never get in the car.
I understand.
It'd be like me and you taking the motor out of your car.
Right.
Taking it to a dyno. And we already put two fat-out spark plugs in it because we don't want people to know how much horsepower is turning.
Well, but these devices are being added after the race. They're not going.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, you have to think about it like this. What if this thing was just an ordinary-looking magnet that's sitting on the floorboard of this car?
Right.
Nobody even knows it's there. Maybe if somebody asks anything, oh, that's just a footrest.
It's a quarter race.
The race is over. You take your foot. You move it underneath the pedal. There you go. Because when they dyno these things, they don't take the motors off the car.
They're doing a chassis dyno. Yeah, they're checking
in-frame.
The horsepower at the rear wheel.
Rear wheel, right?
So that makes more sense to me, because I got to tell you something. If I'm sitting in the car trying to do that, I can feel something going on. But they're out there on the front. And they're saying, okay, that's open.
Yeah.
But you got to know, Billy, and everybody knows. You can open. You can look down. And you're going, wait a minute. You should be able to tell that there's some resistance. Okay. And it's not wide open.
Okay, that, or if they're doing your car, hey, I'm the only one that really can fit in this seat. You're mashing the gas down yourself. This
well,
is not
like
putting
work.
Me
yeah.
in there. You see what
yeah.
I'm saying? But
right.
I mean, no matter what, they're showing. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you take a motor to get dynoed, and you know we take the motor and we've already took two spark plugs out of it, or we send it with two wires that are no good or whatever, and we're only hitting it on six cylinders, it ain't going to turn as much. You see what
that's
I'm saying?
That's a fact.
So in other words, hey, man, this guy, everybody's calling this guy a cheater. But we dynoed his motor, and this is what it dynos when everybody else is dynoing this, and we're sitting back going, yeah, we know. But meanwhile, you put the other two spark plugs in.
Well, you know, one of the arguments was they said, well, you know, the Toyota guys only have a 10, 15 horsepower advantage. Well, it's pretty clear.
It was clear at Daytona.
Yeah, 30 would be looking more like
it. When he lost the car by himself and he was in the grass
absolutely.
And ran the pack down without a caution. I mean, when was the last time this happened, guys?
Yeah, way back.
There's something wrong here. I mean, he rained down.
And I think what this is, what's going on right now, this dyno thing, trying to get parity in horsepower, is something that you remember the days when NASCAR, when the body templates were all different,
mm-hmm.
right? We used to do it with rear spoiler, front spoiler, you know, all those kinds of things, the height of the roof. You know, we gave certain manufacturers at certain time. Got a little help on the front spoiler, got a little help on the rear spoiler, got a little help on the roof height, got varying degrees of help because of the different the different style of the body. Well, they've pretty much got that out of it. Now you've got a new player in town, Toyota, relatively new player in town, who came to the party with a new engine.
And has won 15 of 25 nationwide races.
Okay.
And or total races.
15 of 16, wasn't it?
It's 15 of 25 total if you look at both
right.
series.
But they, you know, so they've got some stuff that Ford, Dodge, and Chevy don't have right now. And it's a significant advantage. Now, the other argument for me is this. If I'm an engine builder and the guy at Joe Gibbs can take that Toyota engine, and by the way, he's doing it better than anybody else. Now, we can argue all we want about Toyota dominant horsepower, but seemingly it's Joe Gibbs Racing dominant Toyota horsepower. You know, this guy, and I'm not standing up for the Toyota guys. You guys know I've got the Ram head tattooed on my chest. But the bottom line here is you take an engine builder at Joe Gibbs Racing, and his job is to make that, there's two things, make that engine reliable and make it as fast as it possibly can be. Period, paragraph. That's it. And to say to an engine builder, hey, make it run at about 85% of its ability, that doesn't make any sense. So ultimately, the issue is going to have to be, what are they going to do to the other engines? Again, Kyle Petty said this a few weeks ago about something else. If you're going to do something here, it shouldn't be about penalizing the Toyota engines guys. Forget what happened to Joe Gibbs. I mean, they got to address that. That has to be dealt with. Okay, but assuming there's no, you get over that. Toyota still has what they have. I don't think you go to the Toyota guys. You say, okay, you got to come backwards. You go to Ford, Chevy, and Dodge and say, here, you can have this to get up here. That's really what you got to do. This shouldn't be about dialing Toyota back. It should be about moving
ramping the others up.
Exactly.
The worst part is you got to do it now.
No, that's true, because you're in trouble.
Yeah, right, you're in a chase
now. They just gave the Toyota motor, they just gave them a little bit more last month, and when they really didn't need it.
Well, it's because they weren't getting good information.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
But I say to you, you know, you could have gotten, if you go to Bill Davis Racing and you go to some of the other, the 96 car. You know, it wasn't going anywhere. Michael Waltrip stuff, it's not going like the Gibbs stuff. The Red Bull cars.
No.
I mean Allmendinger. But Vickers won the pole. This past week. But
race day, he's very inconsistent.
Okay. I think what you got going on here is Joe Gibbs Racing is on their game, big time. I love the Toyota guy's comment. Is I'm glad that, you know, his I think his name is White. He says, I'm glad Joe Gibbs stepped up and took responsibility and said that, you know, we had nothing to do with this. If you believe that, we've got some, you know, oceanfront property in Arizona. Because, you know, there's no question that Toyota is significantly behind Joe Gibbs Racing and giving him, I think, probably a little more help than they are the other guys.
If it's any consolation, the chase is what matters. I mean, you're looking at 12 cars, there are 3 Toyotas in that.
That's not a bad representation.
It's not, and the leading chase driver, Kyle Busch, of course, you know, a commanding lead with his Toyota, 222 points.
Yeah, you know, I think.
So, but he got 3 out of 12.
You're going to have to look. They're going to have to look at.
He's going to have 80.
He's right? Going to have 80 to start with.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, he's going to.
That's if you don't win again.
Yeah, which almost happened yesterday before Carl Edwards swept Michigan.
You know, I don't want to change directions too harsh here because we certainly want to listen to some people, some phone calls. But I was thinking about that and listening to the Kyle Busch and the advantage he's going to get going into the chase. I still have a fundamental problem with that. You know, you're running. It's like NASCAR says, okay, we're going to have a playoff for the championship, and only going to have these many guys are going to play, the top 12 right now. And yet, I don't know of any other sport that you play a playoff round in.
This year.
Okay, now listen, now we're going We have any sport that has a playoff round that you go to the playoffs and another guy has more points than you do when the whistle blows or the buzzer rings or this game starts. It doesn't make sense to me. You know, going to the NBA playoffs and saying, okay,
you're going to start with handicap.
You're going to have 10 points advantage, or you're going to go to the Major League playoffs this fall.
But that's a reward for his past performance this season.
Whoa! I mean, wait a minute.
That's a reward.
What does that have to do with anything?
I just think this is their system, and I think you have to make some consolations like that.
Why?
Why not? This guy obviously
No other major sport in the country does this.
Well, we have not like any other major sport.
Well, but
it's motorsports.
I suspect, yeah, but
no other motorsport does it either. But I mean, this.
If you're going to run a playoff,
you want them to start all even.
Yeah, these 12 guys made it. There is no handy. You're in. And the only thing I say is you should only run for points against each other, not against the field. Okay, they should only score those guys against themselves.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Not against everybody else.
I agree with that.
But I don't know how you can say, okay, because you've had a really good run this year and you've won all these races, we're going to start you ahead of the guy who made the playoffs too.
Because if there was no chase, then he would continue to be the points leader.
There is a chase, though.
You're right, there is. But if there was,
we got rid of that old style a long time ago, Billy.
Here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
When the NFL season's over, we're going to take the team with the best record and we're going to give them 10 points a game.
That's really what you're saying.
Game.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you
That's crazy.
I agree. That is what they're doing. Nonetheless, it's their system. That's how it is.
It's just weird.
It is strange.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to take care of the guy who won the most races because he's the biggest loser here. But
to have to go to this level,
I don't think they planned on it to be some guy win 8 races.
Right, of course not.
They really
so that would give him 80
points advantage.
Yeah, they didn't think about that.
You're exactly right. They didn't. And now the worst part is that's all he's out for.
Well, what they're really doing, is they're trying to protect. They're trying to say that a guy who gets in 12th and has no races won shouldn't be at the same level that a guy who's had any races won. And I'm going to say to you, either you have a playoff system or you don't. Okay, and you don't handicap the playoff system.
Take the 12 guys. Take the 12 guys. Give each one of them 10 points. Start him out. In other words, 10-point deficit. So you take, if the lead guy has 120, the next guy has 110, 100. You see what I'm saying?
95.
If you're going to do it that way, and that way you keep everybody closer. That way you're not looking at an 80-point deficit.
Yeah, it's a heck of a way to start.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I'm in the playoffs, but I'm in the tank. You know, and we still have the same number of races. See, you got to remember something here. You know, you got your 80 points in the tank, and you got 10 races to catch it up. I mean, I'm not sure that the guy that's 12th has the same advantage. And if he doesn't have the same advantage, why do we run the playoff system?
You're exactly right. I think tonight we ought to do the who we think is going to make it and who ain't.
Well, we can do that. I mean, I think
you know
what we
Faye's
do.
Coming.
Huh?
Faye's coming.
Faye's
going to
make it tonight, or tomorrow, actually.
Hey, when we come back from a quick weather update here in just a moment, we definitely, Randy, got to talk about the Battle of the Blacktop with the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series in Charlotte County. This was a great event. Very unconventional that, you know, you put these full-blown dirt late models on asphalt, and it is unconventional, but we'll talk about that event. It was very successful.
Well, that's good. We'll do that. I think it's kind of cool, though. It's not unprecedented. You know, the ARCA Series goes to Salem and drives on the dirt.
And they went to Springfield Mile this weekend.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and I mean,
Kimmel won.
I think it's cool.
Yep.
You know,
it is neat.
It's the way that they've done it. You know, years ago, this used to happen all the time.
It sure did.
And
right.
So I think it's kind of neat. We're getting close to having to go to a break, and we are, just so that everybody knows, we're glad that we're with you tonight. There was some question whether that was going to happen, but we will go in just a couple of seconds here, or a few seconds anyway, to a weather break, a weather update, paying attention to what's going on out there with a tropical storm / potentially hurricane thing.
Racetrack closures already. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, I think that's
a little premature.
I think so, too. Phone numbers are 800-239-0033, 386-239-0033. I've only been saying that for 12 years. 800-927-0033, star 1150 on your AT&T wireless cell phone. And we're going to be back here in just a few minutes.
This is an FNN News Alert, Tropical Storm Fay. I'm Alan McBride. Fay headed northward toward the southwestern Florida coast. A hurricane warning in effect for the southwestern coast of the state from Flamingo to Anna Maria Island. A tropical storm warning and hurricane watch are in effect for the western coast of the state, north of Anna Maria Island to Tarpon Springs. A tropical storm warning remains in effect along the state's eastern coast from Flagler Beach southward. That includes Lake Okeechobee. Tropical storm watch remains in effect for the state's east coast north of Flagler Beach to Fernandina Beach. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the center of Tropical Storm Fay, located near latitude 25.0 degrees north, longitude 81.9 degrees west, roughly 105 miles south of Naples. Fay is moving toward the north near 9 miles per hour. This general motion expected to continue tonight and tomorrow. On this forecast track, the center of the storm will cross the southwestern coast of the state tomorrow. Top sustained winds remain near 60 miles per hour, strengthening expected tonight and tomorrow. Fay is forecast to be at or near hurricane strength as it approaches the southwestern coast of the state. Key West has begun digging out from under the wreckage left by Fay, but there's not that much digging to do because, as it turns out, there wasn't that much serious wreckage. That from Andy Newman, spokesman for Monroe County Tourism.
There has been some impact, but the impact has been minimal, with some trees, signs, and awnings down, but apparently no significant structural damage. Most utilities are reporting their systems in good working order. We have about several hundred customers throughout the Keys that are without power, but the utility companies indicate that they should be restored by Monday night or Tuesday morning.
Elsewhere, storm tides of 3 to 5 feet above normal are possible along the southwestern coast of the state near the center of Fay. Isolated tornadoes also possible tonight and tomorrow over southern and central Florida. This has been an FNN News Special Alert, Tropical Storm Fay. I'm Alan McBride.
Welcome back to Trackside Tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt. I was trying to think of something else. Never mind.
Oh, my.
Who are you?
I'm Billy the Kid.
Well, we get all that serious stuff, and Joe just got so he choked right there, Billy. He choked.
It happens.
He loses his mind.
Yeah.
I tell you what the problem here is. Here's the biggest problem I think he has is he don't want to give Kyle Busch an 80-point advantage. I just don't see how.
I do want to give it to him. You guys don't.
No, I don't. Definitely.
I don't care if he.
You don't want to give
not.
Kyle all the you know what he could eat, Randy. I know that.
I don't think Kyle...
Kyle Busch is the Michael Phelps of motorsports.
Oh,
Dr. Cherry Punch said it yesterday.
He does not...
That was great.
You know what?
Great
line. There's no way that Kyle Busch can compare to Michael Phelps.
You know, speaking of that...
Not a chance.
You know, that's... I was over there in Beijing.
Oh, yeah? Well, they say his ankle's dislocated. Did you see that?
I was there last Tuesday, Wednesday, and I was in the pool with Michael Phelps and got lapped, so I came home. I had enough. I said, that's it. I give up.
I think you had enough before you came here.
How about that camera? That's pretty cool under the water there.
Some nice stuff. Man. He's double jointed in the elbows, double jointed in the legs.
He's a fish.
Today he's eating all the junk food he could eat.
Yeah.
So he don't get to eat junk
food. Like these donuts we got sitting here, Billy.
Saturday night it rained so hard at Volusia Speedway Park, I heard Joe announce over the PA, hey, you guys, watch the straightaway. Michael Phelps might swim by here.
I did say that. Once in a while I come up with some good stuff.
Yeah. More often than not, Joe.
Thank you, Randy.
More often than not.
Hey, but I have been enjoying these 29th Olympiad games. I really have.
Hey, I just want to say, man, did you see these Jamaicans, how fast they
are? Oh, yeah.
The 100 meters.
Unbelievable. What Armstrong. Her name is Armstrong.
Well, I'm talking about the guy.
Oh, I was looking at the ladies.
Oh. Holy moly. Yeah, she won last night.
She's phenomenal.
The night before when we was gone, when we was at the racetrack Saturday night, the two guys were finishing 1 and 2 in the 100 meters.
What are they doing in 100 in like 11 seconds?
Are you crazy?
Well, no.
9 point.
Okay.
Yeah.
9 seconds.
The ladies were about 11.
It's 100 meters.
Okay.
And it transfers to like a 3:4:40.
Amazing.
I mean, it's like you can't even count.
They ran the qualifying for him last week. The kid gets 50 meters, and he stands up and tiptoes to the finish line. And that's how far ahead he was. And then in the other qualifier, the other guy from Jamaica stopped up about the 60-meter mark.
I'll tell you what, I bet you could bring that kid from Jamaica and run him in a match race against a Pierstock out of Volusia Speedway Park, and he'd win.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the ladies
without a car.
And how about these the American gymnasts, the girls? That's Shawn Johnson. I mean, you know, I heard this the other day, and I got to agree with it. Every few minutes, these announcers need to really let us know how old these girls are, okay, to kind of bring us back.
Well, there's a lot of question. There's a lot of question about.
You know what I'm saying?
No, come on, Joe. Where's Lisa when we need her?
No, you're watching them, and you're just looking at them like, wow. They need to just tell you how old they are every few minutes. This young lady's only 12 years old. Oh, okay. All right, great. No problem.
I think I see the sheriff pull out. But
listen.
It's time for the disclaimer, Billy. Okay.
Yeah.
Those views are those of Joe Lionberry, or not of Billy the Kid, or Randy
Dyer.
Every
one of you guys know what I'm talking about.
No, Joe.
Yes, you do.
No.
Yes, you do.
Man.
Every one of you do.
There's a, you know,
said they should tell us how old
they are. There's a lot of argument about the age of the Chinese group. You know,
the little China girl, they said she was 16, and then they said there was a thing last year.
Get her baby teeth in.
They said it was a thing last year that she was only 14. That it was she had won a meet, and they said, look at this girl, won the meet, she's only 14, and one reporter said he's seen it on the internet or seen it in this deal, and all of a sudden it disappeared. And then they said her birth date was January 1st.
Yeah.
1992,
wow.
Which would make her completely 16 years old or something.
Well, you know
come on now. You can't see them. They could have made up any date besides that date.
You know, the sad thing is about some of these kids, they don't know how old they are.
Yeah, you're right.
They really don't, because this process in China starts
infancy.
That's right.
And it's pretty amazing.
It is
the whole culture, and this is their global coming out.
You know, I keep getting a kick out of these. Well, a kick. It's a sad kick. Maybe it's a distorted kick, but. You know, these people get fussed up about some of the age issues with the gymnasts. The changing the one cute little girl for the putting her out in front of everybody with the other girls singing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, and everybody's just shocked.
This is common.
What about the fireworks?
Of all of that.
Those computer generated.
I still don't believe that.
Of all of the. But, you know, you're talking about China. I mean, this isn't exactly a country known for its example of human rights.
Exactly.
Why are we surprised?
They represent a fifth of humanity. Think about that.
Well, it's about a billion people.
Yeah.
One point they, something.
This is probably
all go there. Let's
best save for another politically based program. But if they ever came to cash in on the debt we owe them, forget it. Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Anyway, how do we get all the way over there?
Yeah, you all right, man?
I'm fine.
Huh?
I just know a lot more than you think I know.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you sell those tow motors.
Dude, that was in the 60s. Tow motors
of an Asian variety.
They are. They're Japanese. That's for sure. Yeah. Built in Marengo, Illinois, creating jobs for Americans. They are
deteriorating fast.
Hey, but let's talk about deteriorating the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. They didn't deteriorate. They had a great race down there, you guys. Talking to Jack earlier, you know, it's just one of those nights you get to a racetrack, Randy, and you would certainly agree that everything goes together. You feel just in the air. It's a special night, and that's exactly what they felt down in Charlotte County with, I guess it was just under 20 of these guys made the trip. And they talked about the American race tires, and you guys can chime in on this. 7-year-old tires, Billy, talk about that. Were these just stored tires they had?
From what I saw, they were Goodyear Eagles.
They were?
Yeah.
All right, but they were 7 years old, I understand.
Yeah, they were stored up someplace. I don't think it really made a difference.
No, obviously not.
I think your difference here is the same thing that we talked about before. A lot of people understand that these dirt late models will haul the mail on asphalt.
Yep.
They're not really set up for asphalt, but they will run. I mean, they're a little bit lighter than most of your asphalt late models, and they, you know, if you never seen one on asphalt, it's a wonderful thing to see. But I still think that I noticed Saturday night Sean Smith showed up with the roof off his.
Yeah, why did he go topless on that one?
I think it was an option,
and
to be honest with you, I think they look better on asphalt that way. And I mean, I think some of the dirt races are the same way, and. You know, it falls back to asphalt racing in the state probably need a change, and we heard there was a lot of people there. So people were looking to see something different. We've seen ourselves.
They sure saw that.
We was at Ocala Speedway when they ran there, when Ray Miller's group ran there, and that deal, and that place was packed too. People want to see different stuff every week, and I think that's what they're after.
You know, I got to tell you, Billy, I you may be able to get away, and I think this is why it happened. You might be able to get away with 7-year-old tires to guys running dirt cars on asphalt, But I don't believe you could have got away with running 7-year-old tires with asphalt.
Why?
Running asphalt.
Well, we've seen it happen before. You've seen it happen at Lakeland a few years ago where they had all these tires that were stacked up.
And they're junk.
They were a few years. Yeah, you're exactly right. The thing about
they were for the asphalt car.
Yeah, right. Junk. I mean, that's why it worked, because it was not an asphalt. And I don't take, I'm not taking anything away from from a dirt car guy. I think guys that drive on dirt are better than us guys that drive on asphalt.
Is it power to weight ratio? Is that the difference?
Well, the asphalt guy isn't, the car is going to be a little bit quirky because it's not really set up for, completely, purely an asphalt car. So that lack of good tires is not going to be as significant to the dirt car guy as it is to the asphalt car guy.
Asphalt racer Mike Bresnahan finished second.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's a pretty good show.
But Mike Bresnahan's not just an asphalt guy.
No, he's good on dirt, too. Right. He won his first ever night out on dirt. He ran the first night he ever showed up at Ocala Speedway, he won. But a lot of people don't know unless he changed it. He's running a crate motor in that car.
I will tell you, I'll make a comment about the crate motor / spec motor. That's one thing we're doing different this time when I'm racing is we're running a spec motor, and I got to tell you, I'm fairly impressed. I think I like what it costs. Okay, it's a whole lot less, and B, it's a pretty good package. Right now I think the motor's we have to figure out a little bit about how to make it the most lively it can be, which we've got, we're working on that. And the other thing you got to do is it's a little bit more sensitive to momentum. You've got to keep the momentum up a little bit. But it is, I think all in all, from a budget racing, with budget in mind in racing, it's a pretty good package. And the one we're using is the Progressive motor from South Florida. Steve and those guys, I like it so far.
Did you do your test Thursday? Did you get over there?
Got rained out.
What's the news on the management at that racetrack? Anybody to replace Terry yet?
I can't say precisely because it's not a done deal, but they are definitely
well known in the local industry.
Well known in the industry.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
and local.
It's at times gone by. Yeah, yeah.
So it's not Billy the Kid.
Well, I don't know that they've made up their mind completely who they're, but I know that they're talking to someone that I think would be a good fit.
Excellent.
Let's put it that way. You do know that, I think we talked about this last week, Robert went over and bought all the lighting and all the fencing, and so, from a standpoint of a facility upgrade, there's going to be very little left to do at New Smyrna Speedway.
That's true.
They'll about have it done.
Yeah, sure.
I'm excited about that. I think last week, the new asphalt, because it's so dark and hasn't gotten light through age, with the lights out there, it's dark. It's dark in the race car. And so new lights are going to make a big difference. Yeah. So I think it's great. He bought that stuff for pennies on the dollar. And Robert's never been known to he never passed up a bargain, let's put it that way. So I'm glad he's going to do it. I still feel bad about our beloved Lakeland USA International going away, but that's that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the good news. At least Robert Hart continues to soldier on with New Smyrna and Speed World. But other news you see kind of here and there throughout message boards and other news outlets, perhaps that Sunshine Speedway will reopen over in Pinellas Park over there, just over on the West Coast. So, I'd been there once when it was open, and great little racetrack, and so many people, it's right off Ulmerton Road, so many people just talk about this place and wanting it to reopen, and they're so excited about how it used to be. I hope that happens.
That one's been, ever since I've been involved in racing, that thing has been up and down and up and down. And I think it tells you a lot about what a difficult task it is. Billy, you know better than Joe or I sitting here, of how difficult it is to run a successful racetrack. I mean, it's a battle. I mean, you want to run a pure program, and you also want to, but you also have to be aware and cognizant of the entertainment value. I got some pressure now. We got the ultimate microphone guy, the DJ of DJs. Frank Scott walked in here because he's doing. I'm sure you're doing.
Frank, that was my.
No, I'm a big fan of your show.
That's what. It is.
Thank you, Frank.
Coming
thank
in
you.
Live, yeah.
Frank, I'm the guy that owns Willie the Wiener Dog, man, and I. Thanks for talking about him the other day. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I heard he came in a second.
Hey, listen. He finished. He won his heat and then came in the second spot. So.
And I heard that there was a little issue coming out of
the. It was a crew problem, and we'll address that, and of course regroup for next season. We're gonna be.
Yeah, but you got accused of doping, so that was.
Just name your time, baby. Anytime. I'll bring him out and put him up against any dog you got. Got a greyhound over here at the park? Bring him on.
Oh, that's no, okay.
Billy, help me out. You've seen him.
Billy, wait, but before we...
Let me tell you something. This dog could outrun some late models.
Thank you. Thank you.
But talk about the challenges, really. I mean, aside, don't get into the how you run a race program, because I know you know how to do that. But how do you run a racetrack?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with the first thing you said is that you have to make the people in the grandstand happy, you have to make the racers happy, and you have to make sponsors happy.
Yeah.
So if you nail down those three things, you should be successful. But you can't nail down two out of the three. You can't nail down one. You have to make sure that all three of them. And in the meantime, you have to make sure everything else, you know, it's a round racetrack, so everything has to go around the circle. You know, some things have to leave the gate. Some things have to come back through the gate. You see what I'm saying? You understand where I'm coming from? And, I mean, not that I would know best because I've never done it. I mean, one day I hope to get my chance. And when that happens, I mean, I think it's going to be harder than what I think it's going to be. But if you make those three things work, you should be successful at it.
Well, I think that's true, but I also think it's obviously there's one other element there that's got to exist, and that's got to be a true passion for the sport, because otherwise I think you do things, you go the way of the USA International Speedways, where you go, you know what, this truthfully, I think both you guys, Joe, Billy, if you would ask Billy Martino, ultimately the trouble owning that speedway, the difficulty owning that speedway, the amount of effort he had in running and operating that speedway down there with the various partners that he had, just said, you know what, I'm done. And without the true passion, you give up.
Because
it's a job.
Let me ask you a question. When the fire's almost out, how hard is it to get the flame back? Unless you put something on it that people want to see. And that's what I say. You have to, if you let it die, just like you said, if you let it die, you might as well shut it down.
Right.
Because you're the leader.
Right.
If I work for you and I see you give up, I'm going to give up.
Yep.
Joe's going to give up.
Yep.
You can't give up. The people around you, they have to see you high. They right. have to, and they have to be with you.
Right.
But the first time they see you down, down they go.
Right. No, you're
and
right.
And that's what I say. You have to give the people something different. You have to entertain them where they want to come back every week.
Right.
Because let's face it, you need them.
Right.
Not only do you need them, but you need the racers.
Yep.
So you have to treat the racers fair. You have to make them happy. So if you keep the racers there, the fans go to see them. They're going to be. I said it before, and I'll say it again. If you have 1,000 people in your grandstand, and you only got 50 race cars, you get done at midnight. People get home at 1:00. What's going to happen on Sunday? What's going to happen on Monday? Hey, did you go to the track Saturday? Yeah, I was there. What was it like? 50 cars. Okay, what time did you get done? 10, 11? No, they get done till midnight. I'm telling you this. Are you going to go next week? Now, if you go to the racetrack, there's 120, 130 race cars. You saw a great program. You're done 10:30, 11 o'clock. You get done. Everybody goes home. The next day, you see somebody. Hey, did you go to the track last night? Yeah, I went to the track. How was it? 125, 130 race cars. Got done 11 o'clock. So-and-so won, man. It was four wide. What's going
on? Oh, man, I'm going next week.
What's
going
to happen?
Yeah, I'm going. What time are they open?
And let me ask you
how
a question.
Much was it to get in?
Yeah, $9.
Yeah. Hey,
oh, I'm going.
Hey, how's this look? Hey, man, hey, you want to go to the track tonight?
Yeah,
I really
go.
Can't afford it. It's only $9 bucks, dog. I'll cover you.
Yeah, there you go.
You see what I'm saying? But sometimes I think they get wore out. They pay these $15 for a seat.
Yeah, oh yeah.
To watch the same thing over and over.
How do you? Let me ask you a question. If you go to the racetrack and you've got 1,000 people in the grandstands, like you say, and you end up with only 50 race cars, how much of this program can you change on the fly so that you can go, you know what, we only got 50 race cars. We got to put on a better program. It's not stretch out the program.
Right.
Okay, it's not let's see if we can make it last till midnight. Let's see if we can give them a little more.
I think that's difficult to change on the fly, and I think Billy and all other promoters will agree with that after, you know, attempting to do that because the communication factor. I think the drivers need to know, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago after our Scott Thompson debacle, you know, with the weather and the track preparation. I think it's difficult to make certain. I mean, you can make certain adjustments, but I think for all intents and purposes, it's hard to adjust it too much. Would you agree?
We lost 2 hours on Saturday because of the rain.
Got one back though.
We started at 9:30. We got done 10 after 12.
Yep.
So we ran the program in 2.5 hours.
Yep.
If we would have started at 7:30, we'd have been done 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but let me put it this way: efficiency at your racetrack has never been in question. With the exception of what the weather does to the efficiency,
right?
Okay. As far as if you start with a good racetrack, and you don't have any weather interference, you guys complete a program as efficiently as anybody out there. And so I don't think that's the issue. I think the other thing is all generally speaking, you guys don't have a car count problem. You always have a. If anything, you may have a few too many race cars. What I think I'm referring to is the fan. To your point, okay. You see, you got to hit all three of these things: the fan, the sponsor, and the competitor. How do you, if you go to the racetrack, and you're going to know this, Joe, by the drivers' meeting? So you've got the time to make the adjustment.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Everybody's going to be there. That's going to be there by the drivers' meeting. When you look up in the stands, you got 1,000 people, and you got 50 race cars. What do you say? I mean, do you go to the guys and say, "Look, guys, look, we're going to have to do something a little different. We only got 50 race cars. We got 5 divisions here. That's 10 per division. That's really not enough. We got to do something. We got to give them a little extra show. And here's what I mean. How much of that do you do?
I think
otherwise you send them home doing what you just said to me.
I think that the only way you could do it is when you cross that bridge, and I know what's happened before. You have to make sure that the fan stays entertained. In other words, if you have a class, and not saying that you might, if you have 50 cars, you might have one class that's got 15, 20 cars in it. So this is the one they're going to want to see. But the other classes, I mean, not so much as cutting the laps back. But let's face it, if you only got 5 cars in a class and they're supposed to run 20 laps, this now becomes a 15-lap show. Okay,
we do that all the time.
But I'm saying at least the people in the grandstand realize that you're not trying to keep them there all night, for one thing. Then you have to help not really help the announcer, but say, okay, next week we're going to have this to try to help the people come back.
Right, right.
Because, you know, next week you may have 75, 100 cars. And you can't control the cars that how many cars are there. Okay, but you can help both sides be entertained. In other words, if the racers are there, you give them a good show, and the racers give the grandstand a good show, then the people are going to come back. You don't want to lose them 1,000 people. You got to say something. Hey, there's a big, you know, people, they'll come back.
Do you not agree? I think you can control the number of cars that are going to be there. The first thing you need to know is how many cars exist in each of these classes.
Yeah,
And the second thing you need to do is call them.
You're exactly
and
right.
Give them a reason to come. And then the third thing you need to do is when they do come, you need to reward them for coming, give them a reason to be there. And fourth thing you need to do is thank them when it's all said and done.
Thank you. That's one thing, I mean, and Joe could tell you, I'm on the phone every day with a driver. Somebody's always calling. And you know, and I always tell, and no matter what, when I see them on Saturday, first thing I do is shake their hand and tell them thanks for coming. Because that's what needs to happen. And also, too, in the grandstand. I'm saying, wait, you see somebody in the grandstand, hey, thanks for coming. You know, you guys have a good time. Enjoy yourself. That's my main thing. Have a good time and enjoy yourself.
Right.
You know, but you can't control the car count. I mean, guys are with the economy the way it is now. And, you know, this week, you know, that we're off anyway because of Bristol. But Bristol.
Right.
But I tell you what, we've added a show for Labor Day weekend.
There's a good point. We'll come back to that one in just a minute. But go ahead.
We've added a show for Labor Day weekend. No late models are running anywhere around the South, dirt late models. We've had a show, 3,000 to win. This will probably, hopefully, and most of the guys I talked to, Ken announced it for us at a driver's meeting on Saturday at Charlotte County. We should have around the 50-car mark, and that's what we're looking for. Because we didn't really, people got to understand one thing. Everybody says, why would you add this now? Well, Brunswick always ran on Labor Day weekend for 3,000 or 5,000 to win. Now we just found out this week they're not running, or last week they're not running. He has a motorcycle rally. So if you get it together 2 weeks early, like we did, it should be a huge success. I mean,
right.
For 3,000 to win, this should be good.
Yeah, I think you're
this
right.
This will be awesome. Anyway, back to the tracks being off deal.
Well, you know, you brought this up. We've got just a few seconds before we have to go to a break. But I'm a little bit surprised that Robert Hart and Orlando Speed World and New Smyrna Speedway. Hey, is that Jean? Well, we're going to talk to her first, then she can call us back. Let's stop what we're talking about. Joe will come back. We haven't heard from her in a long time.
Jean. Absolutely.
Blonde either, so what the hell?
How are you?
Well, whoa. Just as mean as ever.
Yeah, you must be doing all right.
Oh, yeah, right.
What's going on?
Not much. I'm glad when the racing season is over this year.
Why is that?
It stinks.
Gene, let's back up. You sound good and strong.
Yeah, we want to know about you first.
Yeah, you're really sounding good. Take us through that. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I've still got a drain, and now because of the start rotten weather, I'll probably have it in another week.
All right.
Before I can get to the doctor to get rid of that. And I still have a stent in my chest that I got to get rid of next week.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit chopped up here.
That probably feels about like the, that's the feeling you have every time Jeff Gordon wins a race. It's kind of like that.
I did get some joy Sunday when he finished 42nd. I was quite happy about that.
Okay. Hey, listen, we got to take a quick break. Will you call us back after the break?
Oh, I can hang on. Whatever you want me to do.
Well, it's up to you, dear.
I'll hang then.
Okay.
Honey.
All right, hang with us, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Okay,
Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach wants you to be prepared. If you need a battery, we have it. Automotive, marine, commercial, motorcycle, golf cart, cellular, generator, UPS backup, garage remotes, AA, AAA, quadruple A, CD, gel batteries, and the list goes on. Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach, 806 Mason Avenue, has hard-to-find batteries. Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach has free battery testing. Call 386-252-5909 or stop by 806 Mason Avenue. Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach wants you to be prepared.
There's dirt racing right in your own backyard here at Volusia Speedway Park in Barberville, featuring the real racing you're looking for every Saturday night. Side by side, 3 and 4 wide, high action racing thrills for the entire family. Volusia Speedway Park, the South's fastest half mile clay track, featuring dirt late models, sportsmen, street stocks, open wheel modifieds, mini stocks, and pure stocks. Your best value for your family entertainment dollar. Call us at 386-985-4402. Or visit our website at VolusiaSpeedwayPark.com.
Let the games begin. At peak performance, these professional athletes will compete against the best in their field in a grueling matchup of guts and grit, vying for the ultimate prize, to stand on the podium and receive their medal and their weight in beer. Ha-ha! Opening ceremonies start on Saturday, September 6th at 1 p.m. for the Redneck Games and Roar to the Shore. Recruit your team and pre-register online for your chance to be a medal winner and make your loved ones proud. The games will take place at New Smyrna Harley-Davidson and Pub 44 Festival Grounds on State Road 44. All rednecks are welcome. Ladies, don't be shy. There'll be a Daisy Duke contest just for you. Other contests include toilet seat horseshoes, hillbilly joust, the best mow, mudslide, and portalette fishing. Pre-register your team online at WNDB.am or call 255-9300 for more information. And bikers, don't miss the Roar to the Shore rally taking place along with the games from 1 p.m. till 11 p.m.
Ready to get back in the game? Want to earn some extra cash without giving up your lifestyle? Then you're ready to connect with Frontier Communications, a leading telecommunications company in 24 states. Join us for an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the DeLand Call Center, 1398 South Woodland Boulevard. We are now hiring full-time and part-time sales and service consultants. Help provide solutions to customer needs in a positive team environment. You must have experience in a customer-focused role, a high school diploma or equivalent, good work history, and basic math and typing skills. You must also be able to navigate Windows, MS Word, and MS Outlook. Candidates with a strong sales background are encouraged to apply. Join us Wednesday, August 20th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the DeLand Call Center and learn about our competitive starting rates plus commission, excellent benefits including 401k, paid training, and vacation. Answer the call to a rewarding career at Frontier. For more information, call 386-943-6032. That's 386-943-6032. Frontier Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside Tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
We're back, Trackside Tonight, and on the phone with us is Gene. And Gene, we're going to talk to you for a couple minutes, and we're going to, believe it or not, we're running out of time quick here tonight.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, so we could tell you're feeling much better. That's good. And Joe said something earlier tonight. Our Billy one, Billy, where'd that come from? I'm talking funny. I'm talking like you, Joe. About picking who we thought was going to be in the chase. Who's not going to make it?
I would love to see a certain Patty not make it.
I don't think that's possible.
I'm hoping he has a few more 43rd finishes and 40 seconds.
Second? What the heck's a 40?
It's my New England accent. Behave yourself, fella.
Yeah. My good boy, she is feeling better.
Massey's got the same one. He just tries to hide it over here.
Yeah. Forget who's not going to make it.
And why?
Don't give me a sentimental pick. Who do you really believe is going to win? Really believe is going to win the chase?
Oh, God, I know. I'd like to see one of two people win it, but I don't know.
Either the
88 or the 31. I'd love to see one of them make it and do a nice job with it.
Okay, but is that your heart? What's your head telling you?
My head's still in the same direction. I mean, okay. Both of them are capable. They have been for a long time, and it's a lot of luck.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
And I think this is reasonable, Joe, Billy. You guys get the chances to weigh in on this. Because of what's taken place in the nationwide series with Joe Gibbs Racing, do you believe it'll have a negative impact on the Cup stuff with Kyle Busch?
Oh, yeah, that's not going to do anything. I mean, great, that's a whole different ballgame.
I don't think... I still don't think Kyle Busch is going to win it. I think Carl Edwards is going to win this Cup deal.
I don't know. He's a tough little competitor, but I don't know.
I think Carl Edwards has been on a pretty good streak here the last three, 4 years.
Five wins.
He's definitely got momentum going his way.
Well, you guys can go back a few years. Remember one particular gentleman was quite upset. He had won 10 races that year but did not win the championship.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying to you is Kyle Busch right now has 8 Carl Edwards has 5. That's only a 30-point difference.
I'll tell you something. If it wasn't for Kyle Busch, all we'd be talking about would be Carl Edwards.
You're right.
There's no question about it.
Let's
make another point here. You know, the difference in the numbers. Carl Edwards has a 100-point penalty from earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of with Billy here. I'm not so sure I would want to be betting against Carl Edwards, and I also will say I happen to believe that this, even though it's confined to the Nationwide Series, what they're talking about is confined to the Nationwide Series, will negatively impact the Cup deal with Kyle Busch. I really believe that.
Kyle Busch, 5 of his 8 wins. Guess who was second?
I don't know, but
Carl Edwards. 5 of the 8 times that Kyle Busch won, Carl Edwards finished second.
And 5 other times this year he's won.
Yeah, actually, it was 3. It's 3 out of 8.
Yeah, like I said, boys, don't count on the wins. Remember the year Rusty Wallace won 10 races but didn't win the championship?
All right, dear, we're gonna let you go. But we're really glad. I tell you, I sat through the whole program until you called, wondering, okay, what's going on here? So I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
I thank you, gentlemen. I did get to hear most of your shows while I was incapacitated, shall we say. And I thank you for your kind thoughts.
Okay.
All right, Jay. Thank you.
We appreciate your loyalty.
Okay, honey. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Night, night.
He's 222 behind. He would only be 122 behind.
Right.
And that's what I said. I mean, I think I messed it up a little bit, but I'm saying 3 out of the 8 times.
Okay.
That Kyle Busch won, he finished second behind him. So think about it. I mean, he's going to get an 80-point advantage, and doesn't Carl Edwards get 50 points because he's won 5 times?
Yeah, they get 10 points per win.
So if they start tomorrow, he's only 30 behind.
Right.
Take away 220, he makes up 190 points.
Yep. I mean, it's a huge... in Carl Edwards, he's every bit. If in fact the matter is, I think if it comes down to the two driving styles, Carl Edwards is 100 times more aggressive than Kyle Busch.
Carl Edwards is a good race car driver.
Yeah, but he's not Mr. Congeniality that he portrays. Don't misunderstand him, and don't,
no, that's true.
And do not underestimate his ability to be tough and rough on the racetrack.
You know, I'm already upset because I can't win that Challenger.
You know, Saturday night, Volusia Speedway Park. That was pretty awesome. Daytona Dodge Chrysler. You guys debuted a pretty cool program that encourages 11th and 12th graders throughout Volusia County
and Flagler
to get good grades. Simply bring the report card to Daytona Dodge Chrysler. This goes through June 2009, I think it is.
That's right.
And these young people are eligible to win. It's the Triple R event, reading, writing, arithmetic, the Challenger event. And they are, in fact, eligible to win a 2009 Dodge Challenger. And a lot of other great stuff.
Yeah, it really, you know, I appreciate you bringing it up. This is an idea that I've had for a long time. We've only got 5 minutes, and I'll have to be really brief to try to explain it. But it goes back to the early 90s, actually. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm a product of the public school system.
And, likewise.
And, you know, the public school system, when I went there, it was a long time ago. But the environment was a pretty good place. You know,
yes.
I had some great teachers, great coaches, great friends, great administrators. And I believe it was very clear that the teachers were in charge. The teachers were really dedicated. And I think today, I think we still have those same kinds of people in the school system. Unfortunately, I believe that a lot of their ability to teach, to be truly educators, has been taken away from them by goofy laws and regulations and things that just don't make good sense. They're not practical. What we're trying to do is give the teachers as well as students some sort of motivation to do better than they've been doing. And it's so we're clear here, this is more than about grades. So much of the emphasis on schools today is about FCAT scores and grade point averages. All that is important. Don't misunderstand me. But I think it's as important for a kid who goes to school every single day, doesn't miss, has perfect attendance, tries all they've got, and if C is all they can get, they're still going to be a good person. I mean, I think that person has as much opportunity to contribute positively to this society as the person who gets a 4.25 grade average. I also think that a person who conducts themselves the right way in school is even though they may not be the best quote-unquote student from a grade point average, really can make a significant difference in his community and the society that we live. So we're going to award opportunities based not only on grades, but based on perfect attendance and based
right.
on character and good conduct. And at the end of the school year, we're going to give away. This is no lease. This is no use of. This is no give it back to us at a certain period of time. We're going to give away a brand new 2009 Dodge Challenger.
That is incredible.
And we've got some great support. Bright House Networks
yes,
is all
Bright
about
House
this.
Yep.
John Doctor and his crew are thoroughly behind this thing, and we're excited to partner with Bright House. Bright House is a great partner. They're a phenomenal contributor to this community. In so many different ways. This challenger that we're doing is a minor event for them compared to all the other things that they do. But they really have children at their in their hearts, and we're excited about it, and we'll be doing it. You'll see stuff on TV, and you'll see the car out some places, and we just encourage everybody to participate. We're certainly not going to try to sell anybody anything. We're going to give them something. Along the way, we're going to give away laptops. Along the way, we're going to give away dinners to the teachers.
Indeed.
You know, there's a lot of cool things. This thing's going to gain a lot of momentum as time goes on, and we think we've got one of the best cars out there to do it with, and it's exciting. And I know that if I was a kid in school at that age, I'd sure be trying.
Definitely.
It's a free car.
Can you imagine, Randy, back in the 70s, a Challenger?
No, I can't. Yeah.
Okay, I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
Definitely.
We're looking forward to having a lot of fun
with it. Great incentive program, no doubt about it. And it's a pleasure to be a part of that out of Volusia. Of course, you had had the Fletcher team out there, and of course they were promoting this event, giving away shirts and hats with raffle drawings, and it was a great night. And when I was introduced to this program, I was so excited about it to see the Bright House was involved. Daytona Dodge Chrysler once again stepping up in the community, man. I think it's wonderful.
Well, we hope that you know, at the end of one of the commercials we do, it says stay in school, and I'd take it one step further. Stay in school and do good. Do the best you can. That doesn't have to mean, you know, straight A's. It just means do the best you can. Apply yourself. Give it your best shot, and you're going to get a chance to win the car. And I'm excited about it. I can't wait to give it away. I've never been so excited about giving something away in my life as this.
It's wonderful.
Joe, quickly.
30th, 29th to 30th, it's the late model Labor Day shootout at Volusia Speedway Park. 3,000 to win. Don't miss it. Have a great week, everyone.
And of course, next Monday night, we'll be back here with Trackside Tonight.
Dirt World Wednesday. See you.